Well, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Lady J.
And it's your girl, Love Love. And this is the Mind His Business Show.
Right here on Gospel Music Omaha 100.3 FM, where we are keeping God 100.
100, yes.
Yeah. People keep asking us, what you mean, 103, 130, 101.3? No, it's 100.3, yes. Because we're keeping God 100.
Right.
You just add 3 for the Trinity. Get it? Keeping God 100. 100.3 FM. You can find us online at gospelmusicomaha.com.
Yes, indeed.
You can find us on your favorite app by typing in Gospel Music Omaha. You can find us there. And this show right here is our flagship show, the Mind His Business Show, because we're all about our Father's business. And our website is mindhisbusiness.com. And the reason why I'm telling you that is because I got good news. We finally got the setup structure in order to be able to upload all of the past podcast or broadcast episodes that we have done. And we have been actually doing these shows since at least 2017. So we've got about 7 years worth of episodes that we will be uploading.
Yes.
And I'm excited to say that we've got last week's episode has been uploaded to the website. So if you would please go to mindhisbusiness.com and check out the website and let me know if the episode is working for you. You should be able to click on the episode, hear it in its entirety. There's also a button there to be able to download that episode if you want to get a copy of it. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a spoiler alert. We're going to be setting it up where we can offer to you all of the broadcasts that we have done on a year-by-year basis on a physical MP3 CD. I'm looking to also get them on a thumb drive, a USB type drive. But for now, we're getting it set up so that you can actually get them on a physical CD. Now you say, well, Lady J, why does that matter if I can download it for free? The reason is not only can you download it for free digitally, of course, but for some folks that like to pop a old CD in their player and listen to it that way, it gives you more options to be able to consume that content, to get yourself caught up with everything we've been talking about, because we've been talking about a lot. That's number one. And number two, we know that eventually this system as we know it may not be the same system that we're experiencing right now. And so having things on a physical, something you can hold in your hands is going to be vitally, vitally important.
To keep you encouraged.
So you want to hold on to your physical books. You want to hold on to your physical CDs, your physical vinyl, your 8-tracks, if you still got those. Because if the internet should go down, it's not going to be so easy to just click a button and learn or figure out anything that you want to know.
And it's going to.
And another thing is that when things are in the digital realm, they can change it. And by they, I mean the people that have control of the platforms and systems that are giving us these things on the internet. So if they want something to be changed or to make people think something is different than what it really is, if it's digital, they could change it anytime. How many times have you gone on a post that you made on some social media platform and you decided you didn't quite like it? What did you do? Well, you edited that post. And so now the original post you made in the digital world, it no longer exists. The only thing that exists is the one you edited. Now imagine if governments, political systems, elite corporations want to manipulate society and change historical events.
Or even draw a conclusion about how you vote, what you think, your algorithms, and put all those things in place. That's how they do it.
So
they collect information.
So they can change, basically they can modify what we understand as reality or history just by changing things digitally. So it's important to keep those old books, those old CDs, those old things that encapsulate reality at a point in time that they can't change. So for those of you that like having things in a physical, tangible medium so that you always know what it really was before they've changed it, that's why we're making it available for those of you that like to keep things in a physical format so that you always know what it really was. Because even with my voice right now, if you're listening to me on the radio, AI is listening to us on the radio also, and it can literally take our voice and make me say anything that the computer wants me to say.
It's true.
And so this digital download that you might get of my of this podcast or this broadcast, they can do a voice print of my voice and literally change what it is that
you say
is said on the internet. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason why we want to make it available in a physical format. So if you get the CD, that's burned into the actual CD, and they can't change that. So maybe later on, you might go back and listen to it, and maybe they didn't like something that I said. They could use AI with their technology and change anything that's on the internet. But if you have something actually in your hands, that's something that they can't change. It's also another reason why you want to always keep a copy of a physical Bible, a physical in your hands, turn the pages Bible. Digital Bibles, apps on your phone, internet Bibles, those are very good. They're very useful, they're convenient, and it allows us to get to the information as fast as possible. And they're excellent tools. But at the end of the day, if they decide that the Bible is, let's say, for example, they determine that the Bible is hate speech because it speaks out against sin, well, they could easily ban, outlaw, or change anything that's online digitally.
They've already done that.
And so the only thing that you would have to hold on would be that physical copy of the Bible that's in your hands, or even more, that scripture that is written on your heart.
Right.
That's why the Bible says, hide the word in my heart that I might not sin against thee, O Lord. Because if they can control whatever digital information is on the internet, they can change what they present as scripture online.
They've already produced, Jackie, chaos magic to actually change actual books in the Bible. They have already done that. Okay? They literally have already done that.
And this goes even beyond different translations.
I looked up one scripture that said, the lamb will lay down with the... And they put... I said, what? When did it ever say that? It never said that. Mm-hmm. Do you know which scripture I'm talking about, Jackie? Mm-hmm. I'm just wanting to know if you know which scripture I'm talking about.
Yeah, the one where it says, the lion shall lay down with the lamb. Digital versions have changed it to the wolf shall lie down with the lamb.
That is devil. That is a lie. That is a lie.
Yeah.
And that's what they've changed it to. So you have people reading, thinking that that's what it was. And you know what? I hate to tell you, we're dating ourselves because we knew what it was before they did it. Okay. So we're dating how old we are. Yes, we're in past our 50s. Okay. Right.
I'm looking for a short video that shows you how they can make any voice be any voice they want. I'm looking for a short one. So while I'm looking that up, what's on your mind this week?
Well, I wanted to talk about those that are, because I know, y'all, I didn't mess up, just so you know. I did happen to download the symbols and everything. I just didn't put them on paper. I didn't get any help from anybody, okay? just so you know, I didn't get any help from anybody. So I'm just going to ask Jackie to bring them up on the screen. And of course, I'm going to bring you guys close so that you can see a lot of the chaos magic and a lot of stuff that they are putting that stand for, as Satan. And it's very important that if you want to take screenshots, or if you don't have enough memory or things of that nature, that you can also write us or call us, and we can also send you or print you out. And I'm telling you now, when we print it out, it's going to be on paper. And it's going to be on paper, and it might be small, and, you know, it might have, how many, Jackie? I don't know, 50 or, you know, but it'll be enough for you to at least see a lot of what's going on. It's satanic
rituals and say the way that they do these logos and all of this different stuff, it's right there in plain sight, and you're not able to see it because it's all around you. You're not able, it's right there in front of you, and you're thinking to yourself, what are you talking about? Well, stick around today and we're going to show you some things, and we're about to get into the AI, how they can actually make a voice of your AI. AI can make a voice just like yours to make it say anything, do anything, make the lips move, the eyes blink, all kinds of that. At first, Jackie, they weren't doing a good job of it. It just looked hideous. Now, though, it looks realistic. It looks so realistic that you practically have to use the Holy Spirit to help you to discern the truth from a lie. Really.
Well, didn't Marvin Gaye say, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear? Isn't that what he said? I think there was a reason, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Let me see.
But it's deeper than that.
Let me see. I got a video that's 1 minute and 37 seconds. That's probably short enough to
And we can't stand the fact checkers. Who made them the fact checkers?
Let's see. Let's see if this one sounds good, because there's a lot of them that are out there.
Okay.
So first, I gotta skip the ad. I hate the ads, man. All right. So let me turn this up, and we'll see what it says in a minute. How about that? Because
if this is not a
good one, if this is not a good one, then we'll figure out which one's the right one.
Okay. Have you ever wanted to hear your favorite celebrity or public figure say something that you wrote? Well, now you can with VoxBox, the PC software that allows you to clone voices using text-to-speech technology. Let's start with Joe Biden. VoxBox offers a range of voices, including the president's. Simply type in the text you want him to say, select the Joe Biden voice, and hit convert.
What are you doing, Trump?
I gathered together leaders from American auto workers in the South Lawn of the White House, all American manufacturers.
Next up, we have the iconic voice of Morgan Freeman. With VoxBox, you can have Morgan Freeman narrate anything you want.
No, when I studied acting 101,
every man should marry. After all, happiness is not the only thing in life.
If you're a fan of Kanye West, you'll love VoxBox's Kanye voice. Whether you want him to rap or just talk, VoxBox has you covered.
Started from the bottom, now we am. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here.
Finally, we have Drake, another popular voice on VoxBox. Whether you want him to sing or just speak, VoxBox can make it happen. So what are you waiting for?
That wasn't even a good one. That was a year ago. They got some better ones. I gotta find a better one. But basically, you can type in whatever you want, and it will say it in whatever voice you want, including your own. Including your own. That's the thing that's really wild to me, is that you can clone your own voice.
They can make you.
And so if I can clone my own voice, they can clone my voice too.
Am I turned up? They can make it where it looks like you're committing a crime. Am I lying?
Yeah, they can make you look like you're saying or doing anything they want you to look like you're saying or doing. So that's why the scripture says, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirit. Let me bring that verse up here real quick. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirit. Whoops. I'm typing slow here. Test the spirit. All right. So this is like totally off topic of what.
No, it's not, because this is relevant to what's going on right now. And there's probably not a lot of people talking about it because they're too scared. They don't want to.
Well, let's see. Okay, I'm scrolling to the verse that says believe not every spirit, but test the spirit. Hold on. Oh boy. There we go. Man, my typing is like slow today. Here, let's do it this way. Y'all don't mind my typing on here. Don't mind my typing. It's 1 John.
Stick with us.
It's 1 John 4:1. So let's go ahead and navigate there here real quick. 1 John.
We're talking about testing the spirit.
4:1.
AI, how it can duplicate your voice. That's what we're talking about for those of you who just joined.
And I'm going to put this up on the screen for those that might be watching the video at some point in the future. It says in 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. That's a capital S spirit.
Yes.
Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now already
is it
in the world.
Right. It's amongst you.
But ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. But we are of God, and he that knoweth God hears us.
Mm-hmm.
He that is not of God doesn't hear us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So when we are approaching things that are on social media, it can very well be doctored up, edited up, biased, disinformation, misinformation, social engineering, priming, propaganda, manipulation. It can be coercion. It can be seduction. All of these.
Sex magic, yeah.
All of these things are there. There's literally a government program, for example, called the Mockingbird program. It's a CIA program where they are given permission to do propaganda on American citizens. It's called Project Mockingbird. And most of our media is underneath Project Mockingbird. Let me see if I can pull that up. Because it's important that when, especially during political season, oh my gosh, even more so during political season, we as believers have to understand that we are not progressives and we're not conservatives. We are supposed to, as believers, be preservatives.
Correct.
We're not supposed to be progressives or conservatives. We're supposed to be preservatives. Jesus said that we are salt. What is salt? Salt is a preservative,
mm-hmm.
but it can also be an irritant.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I mean by that? If you catch a wound, have you ever heard the phrase throwing salt in the wound?
Mm-hmm.
When you put salt in a wound, it can help clean the wound, but boy, does it sting. Boy, does it hurt.
Or high salt. And you eat salt and you know you got high blood pressure.
So when we are preservatives, Jesus already told us that if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. Why? Because they don't want the sting. They don't want the irritant. They don't want the reminder that there's an infection, and that infection is that sin that is besetting all of us.
And they'll try to trick you. They'll try to foul you up. They'll try to make, you know, make your life miserable. They'll try to do sneaky things, underhanded things, things behind your back, things that you think that they don't, that you don't see them do, that they can think they're getting away with, but you're not getting away with, because the Holy Spirit does know, and he protects our feet from falling. He really does.
So everything that's happening in the political world, for example, we as believers ought not to become victim to that. You know, blue no matter who, or red until we're dead, right? We should not even be swayed by any of that. We should be swayed by the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. And that's it. But if we're not careful, we will sway one way or the other. And that's a trap.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, they're two wings of the same bird. And we say that like it's a cliche, but it really is true. When, for example, there was a debate that happened between former President Trump and the nominee Kamala Harris. And when they first walked out onto the stage, they shook hands, and it was a Freemasonic handshake.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I'm gonna pull up a Freemasonic handshake, and I'm going to put that on the screen. Mm-hmm. And what that told me was immediately that, yes, they're pretending to be opponents, but they're both on the same team, meaning right. the secret society team.
Is it okay if I say sometimes it seems like chess, you know, there's white and black, but they're both bad. Okay. When you should not be on the chess, you shouldn't be playing the chess at all with them. People say, which one are you, white or black? Are you the yin or are you the yang? I'm none of it. I'm not even going to play. I'm not even a part of it. We're in the world, but not of the world.
I'm going to show you the grip that they did right before they started the debate.
A cartoon one?
I'm going to show this. Can just put this picture right here. This is the handshake that Kamala Harris and Donald Trump did at the beginning. I'm going to put this on the screen.
We're going to bring you close so that
for those
we can
of you that
you
are
these,
looking at
okay?
the video. Let me see if I can show that.
Okay. We're going to show as many as
that's
we can.
How I knew that the whole thing was staged. And of course it came out later that Kamala Harris, one of the moderators of the debate, was actually one of Kamala Harris' sorority sisters. Sororities, as you know, we've talked about many times, those are secret societies that are underneath Greek idols.
Right.
That she was given the questions ahead of time, and she was told that Donald Trump would be fact-checked and that she wouldn't. We also saw that it came out that she allegedly was wearing earrings that were Bluetooth receivers, and it was just so much stuff. And I'm not saying that because I'm pro-Trump. I'm pro neither one of them. But what I'm saying is that they're both on the same secret team. That's what I'm trying to get at, and I'm trying to push that point home, especially here while we're in this political season, to understand that all of this stuff is designed for a purpose. This is the handshake that they did when they first came out. And I'll give you a second to get a little screenshot of that for those of you that are watching on the video. Whoa. And it was fast, and they had it zoomed way out so most people wouldn't even notice the handshake. But that was the very first thing that I saw, was that there was a Freemasonic grip, and it says right here, the Jacquin real grip of a fellow craft handshake. The Mason takes the fellow Mason by the right hand as in an ordinary handshake and presses the top of his thumb hard on the second knuckle. The fellow Mason presses his thumb against the same knuckle of the first Mason's hand. That was the grip they did. At least that's what it looked like to me when they first started the debate. So what am I supposed to get out of that? Well, they both on the same secret team.
Can you show the other signs and handshakes too?
Well, there are a lot of them that I can show, but
the reason why I'm trying to show is at least
there's a few right here.
Pocket in the hand in the pocket, the hidden hand.
Yeah, there's a lot. I'm just looking at these YouTube videos, and they're showing a lot of the grips right on there. But it's deeper than Freemason handshakes, by far. But I can find that
the one that has the logos.
I can find.
It's time to help.
Stupid ad here. Got to go past the ad. And that what he just did there with his Puffinette smoke. That was, yeah.
It's everywhere.
Now he's doing a hand grip right there on that video.
Sure is. Satan is the god of this world. But you have to understand, he's not better than King Jesus. God is the God of the universe and anything else.
Right there.
You see
that finger right there?
Right there.
That's the grip that Kamala Harris and Donald Trump exchanged when they started their...
Right.
That's it. And see how my video thing is disconnecting while I'm showing that?
Oh, yeah.
They don't want you to know. And I don't... See, he's basically that particular grip.
That is
That one.
But shaking hands, that is not just like when somebody puts their hand. Another yeah. thing making the rounds over the internet is Ivanka Trump is making a sign of
That's awful.
This guy is trying to, he's saying things without saying things. So, yeah. All right. So, yeah, I'll have to take some time to pull up some.
They're already on there. I've seen them
Freemason,
all.
Freemason logos.
No,
how about
not
that?
Freemason, like the logos that they use all the time in all the stores. Not those. I'm talking about whenever you go, CBS, NBC, it has all of these.
Well, we need to get that up ahead of time. All doing it on the fly is tough.
All we do is punch it in.
It's tough.
It's on there.
Okay. What do you want me to show now? Let me make sure I'm understanding what you want me to show. Because doing this real time is kind of tough for me. Can you give me some
NBC,
guidance?
NBC, ABC, the All-Seeing Eye. They're the logos of the different companies.
She's making me work, everybody.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
Well, that's not really getting it. List of occult symbols? I don't know. We can go to Wikipedia.
No, I like the other
ones. The Ankh?
Yep.
Is an ancient Egyptian symbol. Yeah, this is not getting it. The yin and the yang. The Baphomet. The black sun. The solar symbol. The inverted cross. The Eye of Horus, which is the all-seeing eye. Eye of Providence, also the all-seeing eye.
ABC, CBS.
The heptagram, which is a seven-pointed star, which is the symbol for the Apple AI logo that they just released for the iPhone 16.
You're telling the truth.
The hexagram, which if you were to fold that out in 2D or 3D, it would be a cube. The Icelandic magical staves. The Itoi. The black moon or Lilith's sigil.
Mm-hmm. That's an upside down cross.
Yeah, right there. The Monus Hieroglyphica. The Ouroboros, which is a snake eating its own tail. The Pentacle. The Rose Cross or the Rosicrucians. Runes, which are an ancient alphabet. The Seal of Solomon, which is after he was led astray by all of his idol worshiping wives, he then created one of the most wickedest systems out there. The Seal of the Theosophical Society, the Septenary sigil, the Sigil of Lucifer, which I've seen this in concerts, the way they do the lights on the stages.
Yep.
The Sigil of Baphomet, which is the exact same sigil that they use for the Eastern Stars, which is the female version of Freemasonry.
It's true.
The Sigillum Dei, or the Seal of God. The Squared Circle. The Sira Machakra. The Sri Yantra. The Sulfur Crosses. These are associated with fire and brimstone. The Sun. The Sun Cross, the Supreme Polarity, the Symbol of Chaos, the Tetrasits or the Tetrad, the Tetragrammaton, which they say is Kabbalah. This one right here is not Kabbalah, so I think Wikipedia needs to be updated. The Kabbalah Tree of Life, which Kabbalah is a occult ancient mysticism version of Babylonian Talmud or Jewish mysticism, and it has nothing to do with actual Torah-worshipping Hebrews. The Unicursal Hexagram, that's from Aleister Crowley's Thelema. The Cosmic Man and the Zodiac Man.
You got the one for Google, ABC, NBC, CBS?
No, I don't, actually. But, I mean, I can Google it just like anybody else can Google it.
Sure. Television.
Oh, boy. Let's see. As you can see, it doesn't want to pull it up. See how it's not going? All seeing eye corporate logos.
There's the corporate logos down there.
There you go. All of these symbols that I'm showing on the screen, those of you that are on radio can't see them, but all these logos, like the CBS logo, Paramount, Peacock, Time Warner Cable, Fidelity, AOL, Delta, Reebok, NVIDIA, all of these have some form of the pyramid and the all-seeing eye. Ameritrade. So,
what's that at the bottom?
Wise, Infinity, the car company, Columbia Records. So, there you go.
Yep.
All right.
Right there in plain sight, CBS. And what's the eye one right there? What's that eye one?
That's not helping me. I don't know.
The eyeball.
CBS. I said that first.
Is, oh, okay. I was just making sure.
All right. Okay.
All right.
So there you go.
The cigarette Marlboro.
So I wanted to go back to Operation Mockingbird. And I'm on Wikipedia right now, which Wikipedia sometimes is, they're biased as well. But it says here, Operation Mockingbird is an alleged large-scale program of the United States CIA that began in the early years of the Cold War and attempted to manipulate domestic American news media organizations for propaganda purposes. And if you think that Operation Mockingbird is not still happening, you're quite naive. According to the author Deborah Davis, Operation Mockingbird recruited leading American journalists into a propaganda network and influenced the operations of front groups. So I wanted to show you that and get back to that. It is different from Project Mockingbird, but Operation Mockingbird is the propaganda CIA operation that they probably will claim that, that went defunct. They're no longer doing it. And if you believe that, I got an iceberg to sell you in Alaska somewhere. So wanted to show you that. It says, in the early years of the Cold War, efforts were made by the United States government to use mass media to influence public opinion internationally. After the Watergate Committee uncovered domestic, remember Watergate? After they uncovered domestic surveillance abuses, Seymour Hersh claimed the CIA had violated its charter by spying on anti-war activists. Former CIA and officials and some lawmakers called for a congressional inquiry that became known as the Church Committee. Why they got to connect it with the church?
They have to dirty the church up so that nobody will believe the church, the real church.
All right, so I'm not going to go too much deeper into that, but just to show you that everything you see on the media is theater. It's staged. It's designed to push an agenda, and that agenda we know is not a Christ-following agenda, because the people at the top are not Christians. They're not Christ followers. So they're going to operate according to whatever their philosophy of life is, and it's anti-Christian at its core. And so we who are believers, sure, we live in the world, but we're not to be of the world. In other words, we should not be allowing ourselves to be a slave to the algorithms,
right,
or to be a slave to propaganda, or to be a slave from political manipulation.
Right.
And there's a lot of that's going on, and we have to have our spiritual eyes always open, being sober and being vigilant, because as the scripture says, mm-hmm, our enemy, the devil, he's walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
That's
now,
right.
That doesn't mean he will devour you, but it means he's seeking to devour you.
And what's the easiest way to get ate up by a lion? By to be asleep and not paying attention that there's a lion on the prowl. That's
how. Hi, Sister Carol. Hi.
I see some folks have joined on the social media there.
We see you.
So it's important. And as a matter of fact, I'm gonna give you that actual verse because some folks just don't know it. They don't have these verses memorized. And I'm happy to say that having read through the Bible many times over the years, that I don't have as many verses memorized. Like, I can't give you chapter and verse, but I can give you the principles. I can give you in general what it has to say. And let me pull this up for those of you that are watching on this video at some point in the future. It says here.
She said hi.
Hi, amen. Speak this truth. Amen. It says here, starting in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 7. First of all, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Hallelujah.
In other words, you ain't got to worry about nothing because he's got it under control and he's going to take care of you. That's what that means. When you cast your care on someone, like a baby casts its care on mom or dad, it's crying and mom or dad comforts it. That baby is casting its care on the parent. And we can cast our care on God because he will take care of us. That's what it's saying here.
And understand when we say it, we don't mean like a, baby. The baby is
the boy or a girl baby. Yes, he or she. There you go. But it says in verse 8, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. That means to be alert and watchful, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, he's walking around, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking to see, can you be devoured? And it says in verse 9, you need to resist him whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions or the same issues are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, every believer is going through this temptation or this threat from our adversary all around the world, this persecution.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
But it says, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered for a little while, he's going to make you perfect. Remember last week we talked about that word perfect means mature,
right?
Fully developed. You grown in the faith. That's what it's saying here. It says that, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered. Boy, this fly is really getting at me. I guess he want to be a part of the message today.
Yeah, some sweet meat.
Yeah, I did put some different fragrance on today. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, will make you perfect. He will establish you. He will strengthen you. And he will settle you.
Yes.
You know how when you're anxious, you're just unsettled. You're not at rest. Even though you might be sitting still, you don't feel like you're at rest because something in your life is unsettling.
Come on, y'all. Y'all know how to cook cakes and everything. Y'all know how to let it cool and let it,
gotta let it settle.
Yes.
Gotta let it settle. Like sometimes they say you gotta let that steak rest.
Right.
After you cook that steak, you gotta let them juices do just right.
That's right.
Okay, it says here, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, after you have resisted, because what are you suffering? Well, you're suffering this satanic pressure because he wants to devour you, but it says that you're supposed to resist him. You're supposed to resist him.
Now,
and if you do that.
Now, do people really know what it means to resist? Do they really? What do y'all think resist is?
It doesn't take any. It doesn't take.
Stop now.
If it's easy, you're not really resisting. You're just not bothered.
I don't care if you got to get up and run. I don't care if you got to, just like what happened and the clothes came right off.
But it says after you've gone through this resisting
Yes.
Satan.
Resist the
He will make you mature. He will establish you. He will strengthen you. He will settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Resist the devil and he will flee.
There is a concerted effort to get us unsettled, to keep believers anxious, fearful, worried, depressed, bothered, insomniatic,
delusional.
There's a concerted effort to get us to be not thoughtful,
not living in reality,
not rational, to see boogeymen behind every bush, you know, to be worried about everything. Oh, look at what they just said on the YouTube. Look at what they just said on the Twitter. Look what they just said on CNN.
Look what they just said on the news.
Look what they just said on the 10 o'clock news. And we're just worried, worried, worried all the time. Well, you can't be sober and vigilant if you're constantly meditating
on a state of fear.
On fearful things.
Fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real.
All of us are going to face challenges in life. That's what it says here in verse 9. That the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are around the world. Everybody going through something. Even the people that you think got the brightest smile on Sunday. They always looking good, smelling good. Nice big smile. They got the hug. They got all the right words. But behind closed doors and at home, some of them are really suffering. They're really going through it. Because all of us are going through it.
I don't care if you're trying to pay for that suit coat you have on that you went into debt just to not look like you wearing the same suit every week or every 3 weeks, okay? Seriously, Jackie. That's what we're talking about.
There's all this pressure on every single one of us. Whether you're a believer, whether you're not a believer, this world has pressure. It has affliction. It has temptation. It has all kind of problems that come with it. And when you solve one problem, there's going to be another one right behind it, because each problem you solve brings a new set of challenges. And that's life, because life is a continual movement in one direction or the other. If you're not moving, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're dying. There's no such thing as standing still. And so the question is, as a believer, do you want to progress in your faith? Like it says here, allow these challenges in your life to perfect you, to mature you. Man, to perfect you. Doggone fly. To protect you, to mature you. And it says that while you're being matured, while you're growing and maturing, these things will establish you. They will strengthen you and they will settle you. I can tell you now, things that I worried about when I was 14, I don't worry about them now at the age that I am now. Things that worried me at 24, I don't worry about them now. Things that I worried about at 34, I don't worry about them now, because I have been settled. One of the greatest gifts that I think that I've received from God is being able to grow and mature and have some perspective on, boy, things that I just thought were just so important when I was young. I understand now what the elders would say when they would say, just keep on living. You know, the elders, when you're young, the elders be like, just keep on living, baby. And they knew a secret. And that secret was that many things are there to cause you to grow, to cause you to mature. And as you become more mature, you become more strengthened, more established, and more settled. And I am very much so more strengthened and established and settled at the age I am now in the second half of my life than I was in the first half of my life. Why? Because I've gone through some things and I've seen God be faithful every single time.
Yes.
I've seen him come through. I've seen him work things out. I've seen even the things that felt uncomfortable and maybe even tragedies. I can see now with some perspective how he has used them to grow me, strengthen me, to teach me lessons, to put me in new directions and new paths, or to get me out of a rut, or to get me out of an old pattern of thinking. Both the good things and the bad things, I can see how God used every single circumstance to show himself mighty in my life. And that brings for me a sense of stableness and stability that I'm not worried about who the president's going to be. First of all, because I know that no matter who the president is, the government always wins. I'm not worried about whether or not the dollar is going to collapse or whether we're going to war or whether we're going to have a civil war right here because folks are just mad at each other and they're being polarized by the algorithms. I'm not worried about whether or not they want to try to collapse things because I know in whom I believe.
And there's someone who's gone through all of the things that you've gone through. Tragedies, everything that you've gone through to help someone else through. The word through is a past, present, and a future word. You went through something in the past. You might be going through something now, and you made it through. Am I saying it correctly?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever is talking to you right now, that's why you went through the things that you went through, so that you could help other people through it. No matter how tragic, even if someone passed away or died, he's already using you, but he's going to be using you even more because the time is drawing near. Christ is going to be calling here very, very soon. Very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, when I say very soon, somebody, are you talking about next year? No, I really believe this year. You're talking about the year after? No, I really believe it's going to be this year. I really do. Before the year is out, I really do. So everything you went through is so that you would be in the position that someone else can say, you made it through. I know I can make it through. Even if it means that their heart needs to mend because their heart been broke. Their heart's been torn apart. He's using you to help mend the brokenhearted. Isn't that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
He'll mend the brokenhearted. He'll make the crooked places straight. Isn't that what he says? Where's that scripture?
Yep. You're saying it.
To preach the acceptable year and day of the Lord, and that is now.
Mm-hmm.
He is right at the door, and he's right there.
It says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. That's Isaiah 40, verse 1. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, we're not Jerusalem, but the principle is still, we can still apply that to our life, that all of the things that you're going through, it may feel like warfare right now. You may feel like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm in a war. This is a battle.
Or I've been in this for 5 years. I've been in this for 3 years. Time's up.
Well, this verse is for you. Speak ye comfortably to you, Tanisha, to you, John, to you, Mary. Speak to you and cry unto you. Ooh, this fly. And cry unto you that your warfare is accomplished, that your iniquity is pardoned. How can I say that? Because Jesus is the pardoner of all sins, past, present, and future. It is his sacrifice for sins, his death, burial, and resurrection that provides the pardon for iniquity.
Hallelujah.
It says that her iniquity is pardoned, for she, or you, has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Meaning, even though your sins may have put you in a bad consequence.
Yeah.
Somebody in the comments said, pull you out of the shredder and make you whole again. God is love.
Woo. Yeah.
But he will restore that which Satan has taken from you through sin. Now, we can't always get back time that was lost, relationships that were broken. We can't always necessarily overcome the consequences for our sin, but God can still bless you and keep you and provide you a new set of joy, a new path forward.
That there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It doesn't matter what happened in your life to this point. Well, how can you say that when he was a molester, she was a molester, or this person was a rapist? I know. But King Jesus still died on the cross for hideous things just like that. Am I saying it correctly? Correct me if I'm not saying it correctly. He's that serious about you and about them. There's a scripture that says, he who is without sin cast the first stone. The woman was caught in adultery, wasn't she? Well, if she was caught in adultery, wasn't the man? That's all I'm saying. She had to have somebody to do with, right? And what did Jesus say? First of all, he wrote. I wonder what he was writing on that. I wonder if he was writing the guy's name down. Can you imagine that? I'm wondering. And guess what? He said, he who is without sin cast the first stone. Woman, where is your accusers? Didn't he say that? She said, there are none. And what did he say? Go and what?
Sin no more.
There you have it.
So continuing on with Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 3, it says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. You may feel like you're in the wilderness right now. Like you don't feel like you have arrived. You feel like you've left, but you haven't arrived, and it feels like a desert because you kind of feel like you're wandering maybe a little bit. You feeling like maybe I'm just not sure about where I'm supposed to go, what my purpose is. That's the wilderness. It says here, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Yes. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. What that means is that if you don't know where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do, you feel like you're in the wilderness or you're in the desert and it feels directionless, all you need to do is prepare ye the way of the Lord. In other words, well, Lord, I'm making way for you to lead and guide and direct me. That's preparing the way of the Lord.
I'm making the best changes I possibly can.
You are saying, Lord, I give you the whole path. I don't know what direction, but you do. You lead and guide me. I'm preparing you the way. You show me the way. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. I will glorify and honor you so everyone that follows up behind me knows that I was following you. Even if I don't know where I'm going, my heart is that I'm following you. So everyone that comes behind me that takes a look at my life will say, man, you know, she or he really was following God.
Right, and that means not having a form of godliness. There's a lot of people, Jackie, that have a form. There's a form, F-O-R-M, a form of godliness, but they're denying the power. The power is the Holy Spirit. You're denying that the Holy Spirit can really change the trajectory and the way that this thing is aiming to go. You can't deny the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit, he knows the mind and the will of who? The Father. He knows the mind and the will of the Father concerning you.
So continuing on, Isaiah 40, verse 4, every valley shall be exalted. That means that the places that are low are going to be lifted up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. That means everything that's high is going to be leveled out and evened out, and the crooked path shall be made straight, and the rough places will be made smooth or made plain. In other words, right now everything seems topsy-turvy. It seems up and down, and it doesn't seem stable. This is basically saying that if you prepare the way for the Lord and you make straight in the desert a highway for our God, what that means is that all of that topsy-turviness stuff, he's going to give you some stability to where if it seems like you're going up, he going to level you down. If it seems like things are going down, he going to level you up. If it seems like things are rough and rough and tumble, it's going to smooth out. Where? Inside of your heart. Where? Inside of your spirit. Where? Inside of your mind. You cannot always change the circumstances or the terrain that is around you, but God becomes your shock absorbers.
Talk to him about not being double-minded. That's right.
So when you buy a modern car, has four wheels, got axles, got all that other stuff. But there's these springs that are inside of the wheels. They look like big, huge slinkies or big springs. Those are called shock absorbers. And if you have a cheap car, them shocks ain't no good. So you hit these Omaha potholes, you feel every one, don't you, when you're driving?
My butt!
But when you get a luxury car, like a Cadillac or a Bentley or something like that.
We have a Cadillac.
They have very highly advanced shock absorbers. And it's so smooth that when you go over that pothole, you barely feel it. Why? Because everything is evening out. So when your tire goes down into the pothole, the shock absorber expands. And when it comes out of the pothole, the shock absorber contracts because it's like a spring. So no matter how low or high your tires are, even at a high rate of speed, you always have the experience of riding a smooth ride because it's no longer dependent on the terrain. The shock absorbers are there to make the crooked path straight. That's what that means. God is your, he's your spiritual shock absorbers, if I can say it that way. That all of your life experiences that you're going through, the highs, the lows, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, the rough spots, all of that stuff, if you allow the Holy Spirit to come in and lead and guide your life, he will smooth those things out like some spiritual shock absorbers. I see some folks saying God will guide and direct and peace and jubilation come with that shift. And I see somebody saying love and blessings. Hello back to you. But that's what God does, is he doesn't necessarily take you out of every circumstance. Just because you might want it to go away, it may not go away from you. But he can make things smoother for you if you prepare the way of the Lord in your life.
Just like Paul said, he had a thorn in the what? In the flesh. Right?
That's right.
Nobody knew what the thorn, I mean, a lot of people say they know. I think it could be anything that you, as an individual, that nobody knows. It could be a thorn in the flesh. That means you just seem like something that just keeps you humble. Just, you know, maybe you talk and you spit. You spit at people when you talk. Who knows? Lord. Maybe you gas.
You're not trying to give me a cue, are you?
Look, no, of course not.
Okay, just checking.
I tell you, I go,
Okay, just checking.
But maybe it could be, you know, there's a lot of people have a lot of thorns in the flesh, a lot of things that they do, really. And they're trying to get the victory. They're trying. Or who knows? It may never change. It's there to keep you humble so that you're not dependent upon yourself, but that you're dependent upon King Jesus. That's important.
Mm-hmm. In Isaiah 40, verse 5, it says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry." And that means to shout in this context. And he said, "Well, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field." That means it's very short. Our life here, our time here is very short. In the big picture of eternity, this 100 years that you have here, or less, is just a very short
time. The word
of God
says
it's saying here. It says all flesh is like grass.
But a vapor.
Because it grows up and then it's gone. And all the goodliness thereof is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are like grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
Yes.
And you want the forever in your life. You don't want just the temporary. You don't just want the for the moment. So many things in our life is just for the moment. That situationship that you're dealing with right now, that's just for the moment. That's temporary. That bill that you got to pay this month, believe it or not, that's just temporary. Because you're going to pay it, and then the month's going to go by, and you're going to have to do it again. It's small. It's short-lived. It's temporary. And we should not give permanent worry to temporary situations.
Hey,
let me repeat that. Do not give permanent worry to temporary situations. Many things will resolve themselves if you just give them enough time. And a lot of other things, you'll find that if you sleep on it or give it some time before you decide, that it'll go away on its own. And some things, if you don't deal with it right then and there, it's going to turn into a bigger or more permanent problem.
Yeah.
And so you really want to give the correct amount of attention and emotional energy to everything that's in your life. Some things, like when I'm arguing with somebody, the advice used to be, is this topic that we arguing about right now, is this going to matter 6 months from now? Am I really going to care that you put the empty bottle of milk back in the refrigerator? And how much time did we argue about that? Is it really going to matter 6 months from now that there was an empty jug of milk in the refrigerator? If it's not going to matter 6 months from now, don't let it matter 6 minutes from now. You feel me?
And then there's some things that are more tragic. They do take some people a little bit more time. There are some things that are a lot more tragic that do take time.
But what I'm getting at, though, is let's not...
Counseling. There, you can go to counseling. Some of you have been hurt and traumatized, and you won't even go to a counselor, even for 1 minute. You won't even go. Sometimes you can share it with somebody that you can't share with anybody else. Sometimes it costs, you know, so you have to be careful who you go to, and you don't go and tell all your business to just any and everybody, okay? But it does help if you can get a lot of that off your chest, off your brain, out of your mind. Isn't that what do you think about that?
I think that's individually determined.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give a one size fits all for that. Mm-hmm. But some issues are spiritual, some are generational, some are problems of our own making, and we just need to get more mature and a little more patient. So many of our problems in life are just simply because of impatience. We want it now. We don't want to wait, and we don't want to work for it. We want the glory without the work, or we want the benefit without the responsibility, and that impatience leads us into a pickle.
Yep.
And rather than being mad at the vinegar that comes with the pickle, maybe you just need to get out of the pickle jar, and you need to wait, and you need to work.
Yes.
And you need to not expect things to come to you for free.
Yes.
I saw something on social media that said that a lot of addiction is wanting the reward without the effort. And so we want that good feeling without the accomplishment that comes with it. Because when you accomplish something that you worked really hard for, that is in and of itself such a boost to your self-esteem, to your confidence, to your ego, to all of that stuff. But when we substitute addictions instead of accomplishments, that addiction is an attempt to get that reward without the accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
We want the good feeling.
You want that gratification.
Without the accomplishment that should have underpinned that good feeling. And so that's why addictions never ultimately satisfy, because they're not based on a real accomplishment. And oftentimes addictions are ways to avoid the fact that we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. So we press into that to try to forget about a negative rather than working on a negative. You know, how they say we self-medicate, for example. We turn to the bottle or to the weed or to prescription drugs or to something else to forget. You know, they always say, oh, I just want to forget. But then when you come down, the problem's still there. You know, we've all heard that cliche.
And then there are some people that are just plain addicted.
Well, doesn't that indicate that, man, maybe I need to work on the underlying thing rather than self-medicate the symptoms? Maybe I need to deal with the root issue. And I can't tell you what that root issue is. That's unique as people, every single person listening has their own unique situations to deal with. But whatever needs to be dealt with, the Holy Spirit will tell you how to attack that problem. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. You get in the Word of God and the Scriptures will lead and guide you on your next step related to that issue. And you'll find that if you do the work and you get the accomplishment of saying, hey, I made progress on this, you will find that that accomplishment in and of itself is the reward that you were leaning on the addiction to fulfill. And it takes time. And that's not something that will change immediately or overnight. It's like anything else. You have to put in the work.
Yeah.
You can't complain about results you didn't get from work you didn't do.
Also, too, don't be surprised that if you're on drugs and you choose to get off drugs and go to get help, don't be surprised what kind of drugs are inside the drug that you've been taking. Does that make sense?
I'm not even talking about drugs, yeah, but I mean, drugs is just one example.
But it is an epidemic right now that are keeping people, what's the word I want to use? Subdued. That's the word that I want to use. Subdued into, oh, well, whatever. Doesn't matter.
There's a difference between...
I'm going to just keep smoking... Because guess what? It's drugging them and it's keeping them subdued to where they don't care. There is cocaine in there. There is all types of menace evil. There is fentanyl in there. There is, what is the other one? K. There is all kinds of, you just don't know what it is.
There's a difference between being subdued and being stabilized.
Inebriated, all kinds of.
So if you were to take a person and put them in a straitjacket, they're subdued, but they're not stabilized because they're still resisting on the inside and they're doing everything they can to get out. There's a difference. When you subject yourself to addiction, you may be subduing the symptoms, but you haven't resolved the underlying stresses that are causing you
issues
to have the instability to begin with. So if you work on those things, and I already gave you the answer to that, where it talked about you become settled. Remember that? Well, settled is a state that you find yourself in when you have worked through and come to maturity about an issue. And I'll go back to that and I'll just finish that off right here. It's 1 Peter 5 and 8, 9 and 10, and I'm gonna end it up with this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions or the same issues are happening to your brethren around the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have gone through this for a little while, he will make you mature or perfect. He will establish you, strengthen you, and settle you.
Hallelujah.
To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Yes.
So we don't just want to subdue our issues, but we want to resist the enemy. And the accomplishment, just like it says here, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren around the world. As you become more accomplished at resisting Satan, you will become more mature. You will become established, strengthened, and settled as you press into Christ. So I'm going to leave you with that.
Read about the Helen Baylor story. Helen Baylor used to be on all kinds of addiction, drugs, meth, you name it. She was on it. And she had a song, Can You Reach My Friend? You're the only one who can. And she said, help him give his heart to you. And she ended up giving her... See, why is she thinking about the Holy Spirit ended up saving her? Helen Baylor is her name. She's a wonderful gospel artist who
who used to sing, he used to sing in Heat Wave and all the different ones. Y'all know, okay? Helen Baylor. And I really love her testimony. Mm. We thank you. You're looking up something or anything?
No, that's okay. It. So
we love you so much, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today.
So this is Lady J.
This is Love Love.
And we're signing off for this time.
Ciao.
Until next time, we'll see you later.
Ciao. I love you.